Few dozen New Zealand super annuitants who are stuck in Australia, having travelled there during the travel bubble, and been told the government is working through whether the bubble closing that left them in limbo could have been foreseen. Because once you've been out of the country for more than 7 months, you lose your pension. The Associate Health Minister, Dr. Aisha Verrill, spoke to Lisa Owen on Checkpoint about this. Lisa asked her how anyone could have predicted they would get stuck like this.
I think the question about what's reasonably foreseeable is indeed one that we can work through. And what I've heard the Minister of Finance say, that for people whose situation is really beyond their control, we are interested in continuing to see what can be done for them.
So what should they do and who should they contact? And what do they need to provide?
So I think this is a process that the Minister for Social Development is continuing to look at. But I think there's a couple of things that they can do. The first thing is that there is, in addition to the initial green zone flights that were on when Trans-Tasman bubble was closed, you'll recall there was a week of green zone flights, there are ongoing red zone flights. And the next tranche of MIQ vouchers to be released will include Australia. So it's still that way. Then there's the MIQ
What exemption. Date for those ministers, the release of the Australia vouchers?
I'm afraid I don't have a date for that. There is another avenue, though, listeners will want to know about, which is that there is an exceptional, I think it's emergency allocation of MIQ that you can apply for. And while this on its own wouldn't be ground for that, this in combination with other factors that may reflect hardship could be taken into account. So people in that position could apply for an MIQ exemption in that way. And then, as I said, it remains an area the government continues to look at, with the Minister of Social Development being the lead minister there.
Aisha Verrill, the Associate Health Minister, speaking with Lisa Owen on Checkpoint. Now, on the line now is the National Party spokesperson for senior citizens, Ian McKelvey. Kia ora, Ian.
Good evening.
What did you make of what the minister had to say this afternoon?
I think, frankly, it's nitpicking. I think your estimate of a few dozen, I think, would be right. There would be a good few dozen over there, and I frankly think that we can give relief to driver's licences and warrant of fitness and things like that with a dash of a pen, basically. And I think we could do exactly the same thing in this case, because these people aren't going to exactly get away with the cash, because they'll be caught up with if they do, in fact, I guess abuse the system. So it's easy enough to catch up with them. And I think that many of them are under significant duress, actually, sitting in Australia with no certainty of income.
Has anyone got in touch with you? Is in this situation?
Yeah, I had a look today, and I think I had five through my office just out of the Rangitikei electorate alone, and that's just what's contacted the MP's office, and many people don't do that. And certainly through our parliamentary office, we've had a number more. We've also contacted both ministers on this issue.
What have they said, or what have your officers told you about what they've said?
Well, effectively, much the same as the minister said on the radio today. That the government, they just haven't moved on it. And the Minister for Social Development's the same. Gave us some statistics, but didn't move on it. And I don't think there's any excuse for not moving on it, because really it's a government issue, and the government have, to a large extent, caused this. And at the end of the day, some of these people will be suffering significant hardship, and it's through no fault of their own.
Ian, do you know, if you lose the pension because you've been overseas for too long, do you lose it for good?
No, you don't. No, you can, when you get back home, you can pick it up again. But I think the problem with these people is that many of them don't know how long they're going to be there for. And they certainly didn't intend to stay there. Certainly the ones that have contacted my electorate office didn't intend to stay there. They're there by bad luck, basically.
However, Ian, if they are going to get the pension when they get back home, and maybe they're with friends or family, then maybe they're okay for now.
I think that's a bit of a we're second guessing, really, aren't we? And I just think that under ordinary circumstances, people will know the rules. Under these circumstances, they knew the rules as well, but they didn't anticipate getting stuck in Australia through decisions that the government, for various reasons, has made.
I guess I don't have sons or daughters or grandchildren, grandsons in Australia. I've got friends and family. But I know that my partner and I, when we looked at the situation when these bubbles first emerged, we thought there's no way we're going over there at the moment. There's just too much uncertainty, too much risk that we get caught.
Well, I think I'm a bit in your camp myself. But certainly two of the people who have contacted me from Australia have gone overseas, relatives who were either very unwell, or and close relatives as well, who were very unwell. Two others had gone to see grandchildren they'd never seen before, and so you can sort of sympathise with them to some extent. And I think that whilst they were warned by the government, it was interesting that we changed the rules on MIQ the moment we not need to get them home again. So we gave them free MIQ, but these people have been stuck in Australia, unable to get back and unable to continue to claim the pension. And exactly, it's not a great deal of money.
I guess the other bit of sentiment that I've been picking up on, because people do text the station, and one of those bits of sentiment is that, well, if they could afford to go to Australia, maybe they don't need the pension so much.
Well, yes, but that's cheaper to go to Australia than to fly to Queenstown from Palmerston North by a long way. I don't think that's a valid argument.
Maybe there another thing to consider, however, is and this is why the government might be dragging its feet on this, is a precedent that Mike set in terms of other people being overseas for longer than 7 months and still getting the pension. Maybe that's why they're holding back.
Oh, I don't think that's a reasonable excuse, because I think that this is an extraordinary situation. So I think that, you know, it's no different really when you think about the driver's licence issue, where if you didn't get your driver's licence renewed in time, you get an extension. Get your driver's licence renewed, and I think it's a very similar situation. But I also think that these people are in exceptional circumstances, and some of them, as I said, are probably suffering a reasonable amount of hardship, and I don't think they want the money to save it. I think they want the money to keep themselves alive.
Do you think it's fair that we have allowed sports people to travel? I know we love sport in this country. We love watching the All Blacks playing in Australia, or cricketers playing in Bangladesh or Pakistan, or even netballers jumping across the border here so they can play in the Test Series in Christchurch. But right now, is that fair, Ian, particularly when it affects people that we've just been talking about who are now stuck in Australia and can't come home?
Yes, I think that's it's a good argument. But I was also intrigued by the argument that Aaron Smith used for not going to Australia, because he realised he might not be able to get back in time for the birth of his second child. And he understood the situation perfectly, didn't take the chance. So I think there's some interesting issues in all of these things. And in fact, I've got schools in North Auckland who want to come into the Rangitikei electorate for education purposes, who can't get on a bus and go through Auckland without getting out of the bus. And so I think those sort of things are equally as odd.
Ian, while I've got you there, what are your thoughts at the moment on the situation with your leader and her popularity? I'm particularly interested in that poll that came out today, not because I take much notice of individual polls, but it was carried out by the Taxpayers Union, which is normally pretty sympathetic to your party, commissioned by it anyway. Makes me wonder whether some Conservatives are getting a little bit itchy about things.
Well, I did hear the instigator of the poll on the radio this afternoon explaining the timing of that poll, and I think the timing of the poll was difficult. I also think that we're in extraordinary circumstances, and I think given you take a poll during a time when we're locked down and a good deal of the population are reasonably well looked after by the government, I think you're going to get odd polls. And so I think the polling situation is a very difficult one to get a line on in the environment we're living in at the moment.
Now, you're an electorate MP, you're in Rangitikei, and there's a pretty good chance, unless social credit runs again, that you're going to get in no problems. But what about some of your fellow list MPs at the moment?
Oh, well, I think that's the swings and roundabouts of politics, isn't it? And you know, it wasn't long before the current government first got elected that they were polling, I think, 21 or 22%, with New Zealand First right up behind them on 18. So things change very quickly in this business. And I just think we do live in very unusual times. And I think that's going to normalise as we go along. And that will result in a very different perspective on life.
Ian, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you, Ian. That's Ian McKelvey. He's MP for Rangitika. He's also national spokesperson on senior citizens and senior citizen affairs.